We're holding paid Bays, Umud Bays, the last line. We started discussing the question. Now, in our Mishnah, when we said that if a person buys three trees, then automatically he gets the land between the trees and around each tree enough to be able to walk around and pick the fruit. So we were discussing how far apart are we talking about that the trees are. So we had two opinions, both ultimately in the name of Shmuel. We had Rabbi Yosef quoting Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Shmuel said that the distances are where they're anywhere between 4 and 8 amas apart, the trees. Any closer than that, then it's considered a forest, because you're not going to really keep them growing like that for very long, because they're going to end up interfering with each other, with getting nutrients from the soil and sunlight and whatever. And more than 8 amas apart is too far apart to be all considered, that we should consider all those trees as a unit. Then we had Rava, in the name of Rav Nachman, who says in the name of Shmuel that the figures are 8 and 16, not 4 and 8, but 8 and 16. So we said that Rabbiah said to Rabbi Yosef, don't we have an example from the halachas of Kelaya Kerem, where only when the grapevines are planted 16 amas apart, only then do we say that they're not considered, that they don't count, that they don't merge together to make one big vineyard, and we say that then you can plant the empty areas of ground between them, but you have to have 16 amas between them. So how could you say that even if the trees are 8 amas apart, then that's already enough to make them be considered separate for this purpose? So Rabbi Yosef answers, Anolo Yadina. I don't know as far as that Mishnah being relevant to our case over here. El Uvdahava, but I'll tell you an actual case that happened. Bedura Dadavasa, in a village of shepherds, where you had that one person over there. There were a bunch of shepherds who had a village together over there. It was convenient this way. They could have pens for their sheep and they could help look out for each other's sheep. Whatever the point is, that it was a village where a bunch of people lived. One of them owned a field over there, and then he sold 3 trees to the other person in that field. But also the Kamed Rav Yehuda, they came to Rav Yehuda to ask, what's the din? Does he get land it between and around the trees as well. But Amalei, and Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Zil Havlei, Kimloi Bokov Kevah. Go give him the amount of land between the trees, even though between one tree and the next, there's only as much room as it would take for a team of oxen, for an ox to pass through with its gear. Because the idea is, in other words, you need oxen, as we've talked about before. You need to go between the trees and plow up the ground so that to soften the soil so that the trees will grow better. So the point is, in other words, he's saying, even though now how much is Kimloi Bokov Kelav is considered to be 4 amos. So you need Kimloi Bokov Kelav. So Rabbi Yosef continues, well, I have a Yadina Kimloi Bokov Kelav Kama. Now, I didn't know how much space that actually is. Tosfos points out, after we learn these couple of lines, we'll discuss what exactly the proof is, what exactly the proof is, not like Rabbi Nachman's version. Now, Rabbi Yosef is saying not like Rabbi Nachman's version, but Tosfos in the course of that mentions that in Bavel, anyway, earlier in the Masechta, it points out that in Bavel they didn't really use this method of plowing, of the space that it would take up for an ox to go through with its gear was less in Bavel than it was in Eretz Yisrael, because in Bavel they used smaller plows or whatever, because the ground there is much softer and moister. So they didn't need to plow as strongly, so they didn't need as much equipment for that. So Rabbi Yosef says, I didn't know how much that is. Kiven to Shmaita, Lahodetnan. Then I heard of what we learn in the Mishnah, A person can't plant a tree near the edge of his field, near somebody else's field. Unless he puts it at least 4 amas away from the edge.
And we learn in a brisa why four amos, arba amos tra'amru, kedei avodas hakerem. The reason is because that's the amount of space that you need in order to work a vineyard, because that way, in other words, if those trees are vines then you need that amount of space to work land around them, to plow around them. The idea being, in other words, you don't want to have that he's going to plant his trees or his vines or whatever, and he's going to wind up having to trespass on the other guy's field every time he plows around them. So therefore you have to leave four amos, the Mishnah says. So Amina, so Rabbi Yosef says, I realize, Shmamina, Kimloy Bok of a Caleb, Dalar Amos, then that tells us that the amount of space that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about is four amos. So we see that the minimum spacing that you need around trees is four amps. So what does that mean? Now, so we have Rabbi Yosef saying that it's between four and eight amps. Rabbi Nachman saying in the name of Shmuel between 8 and 16. Now, we're saying four amps over here minimum. How does that bear on? So Tosfos says a few possibilities. First of all, at least it shows that once they're four amps apart, then they're not considered with sukkim, they're not considered so close together. So we see now Rabbi Nachman is saying 8 to 16. So you see, says Rabbi Yosef, fine, I don't have any proof that the 16 of Rabbi Nachman's version is incorrect, but given that we see that Rabbi Yehuda had said that four amos is enough between the trees, and Rabbi Nachman is saying you need minimum of eight, then it shows at least that half of Rabbi Nachman's statement can't be correct, and therefore we have no reason to accept the other half either. It's true, Rabbi Yosef is saying, according to Tosfos' first explanation, that you did bring a proof from the Mishnah and Kilayim regarding 16, and that would work with Rabbi Nachman, with the second half of Rabbi Nachman's statement. But given this case, which, as the Gemara is going to point out, a case where you actually paskin in practice is much stronger, Maaseh Rav, and there you say that four amos is enough, then that shows that we can't accept Rabbi Nachman's 8 amos minimum, and therefore why should we accept the 16 amos maximum? Tosfos goes on to give a couple of other explanations, what Rabbi Yosef's proof is. One point is that one way of understanding it is that maybe Rabbi Yehuda means when he says Kimloy Bok of a Caleb, it can actually mean each tree needs four amos next to it, where the total would in fact be 16, where the total would in fact be 8 between the two of them. Although Tosfos goes on to say again that in that Gemara, in the second parak, when it talked about this din of not planting trees too close to the edge of the field, then the Gemara had said that they're in Bavel, because they use smaller plows, because they don't need to work the land as hard, then two amos is enough. Here, this Dura Dravosa, this village that we're talking about, where they came to Rabbi Yehuda for a psak din, is in Bavel. So the point is, in other words, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Kimloy Bok of a Caleb, he doesn't necessarily mean the actual space that you need in Bavel for that. He's just using that as a simon, which Rabbi Yosef says, we can figure out based on the Mishnah earlier in the Masechta, that it means four amps. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yosef is saying that, so you're telling me Rabbi Nachman had said, and Rava is quoting in his name, that the minimum spacing between the trees is eight amps, based on the psak of Rabbi Yehuda, I can't accept. Well, the Gemara asked the Rabbi Yosef, Milay Tanan. When we said to begin with, when Abaya had said to Rabbi Yosef, don't argue with Rabbi Nachman, because you see that there's a case in Hilchos Kilayim where things up to 16 amos apart are considered close together, don't we also have, why, what was Abaya's problem anyway? Don't we have another Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef? We learn in a Mishnah that there are other Tanoim who also hold that eight amos maximum. Rav Meir and Rav Shimon Amrim, Anateas Kamas Shmona Amos Al Shmona. Rav Meir and Rav Shimon say that if a person plants his vineyard with spacings of eight amos between the rows, so here before Rav Yehuda had said that in order for it not to be considered one big vineyard, the spacings have to be 16 amos or more, but Rav Shimon But Rav Meir and Rav Shimon disagree and say 8 amos spacing is enough. Mutar lahavi zera l'sham, then you'd be able to plant grain or vegetables in the middle. So you're telling me Rav Yehuda would say if the grapevines, the rows of grapevines are less than 16 amos apart, then it's all considered one vineyard and you can't plant anything in the middle in order not to be over on Kelaya Kerem. And you wanted to say, and Abaya, you wanted to say, therefore, that supports Rav Nachman's position that the maximum spacing is 16, but no less than that. Well, Rav Yosef is saying the maximum spacing is 8. And you see that Rav Meir and Rav Shimon hold that. So the Gemara says true, but Afilahochi Maisa Odir. True, but the fact that Rav Yehuda is bringing an actual case in the city of Tzalmon, where the person planted them at spacings of 16, and he did the whole thing that we discussed yesterday with turning the grapevines to face this way and that in order to leave the space underneath them unshaded by the grapevines. So Maisa Odif, an actual case, is much stronger. Now, granted, of course, Tosfos says could conceivably be that maybe this guy Punk decided to plant it this way, but no, since we're saying that it was Alpi Chachamim, that the Chachamim guided him in what to do, then we can assume the Chachamim wouldn't have required him to plant them at such spacings of so much space, 16 amos, unless they actually held in practice that that's how it is. So in other words, we can say, yes, Reb Meir and Reb Shimon hold differently, but since we have an actual practical example where the Chachamim and Salman Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and said 16 amos, then that's a much stronger proof, says Abaya, that's the minimum and maximum distances that we're talking about, and therefore we can apply that to the case of the trees over here. The fact that we could support Rav Yosef's opinion using these other Tanoim is a weaker proof than the fact that we can support Rav Nachman. But nevertheless, Rav Yosef is saying, I have a Maisa for you also. I have an actual case where Rav Yehuda, the Amora, Paskin, Kimloy Bok of a Kalev, which implies that the maximum spacing is, which implies either that the minimum spacing is 4 amos or that the maximum is 8. But either way, there's no 16 over here. Okay, so fine. The Gemara says, Bishleimel Rabbi Yosef. Now, the question is like this. Rabbi Nachman is saying Rabbi Nachman is saying 8 to 16. So the question is, Rabbi Yosef, we have both of his figures. He said 4 and 8. So b'shleimel Rav Yosef alibed Rav Shimon. Now, if Rav Yosef holds that the halacha is like Rav Shimon and Rav Meir in the Mishnah we just quoted, namely that in the case of Kelaya Kerem, if the grapevines are up to 8 amos apart, then it's considered all one big vineyard and you can't plant anything between them. But if they're 8 amos or more apart, then you're allowed to. So fine, according to Rabbi Yosef, since he holds the halachas like Rabbi Shimon, Shamin and Lay Mufuzarin, then we see Rabbi Shimon saying, that when the trees are more than 8 amos apart, or in that case, the grapevines are more than 8 amos apart, then we see that they're considered separate. And if we derive from that to our case of the 3 trees in somebody else's field, then it would mean that when the trees are 8 or more amos apart, then they're not considered all ritzufim, they're not considered all one big unit for him to be entitled to land around and under them. And conversely, we also find another Mishnah where Rav Shimon talks about where grapevines are planted very close together at spacings of less than 4 amos, where Rav Shimon says that then they don't count because then they're planted too crowded together. So the introduction to the question is that according to Rav Yosef, not only we find Mishnayos that mention figures of both 4 and 8 amos in this connection, both within the opinion of Rav Shimon, well fine, Rav Yosef evidently holds the halacha is like Rav Shimon in that regard, because he's bringing a proof, because we just said that Rav Yosef's 8 amos we can derive from a Mishnah where Rav Shimon says that that's considered as far as Kelayim, that each grapevine is considered something separate in that case. And now we're going to quote another Mishnah where we see that Reb Shimon says the same thing as far as spacings of less than 4 amos. Namely, Mufuzorin Hodamara, and as far as the scattered ones we just said, where we have where Reb Shimon and Reb Meir are saying that as long as the grapevines are 8 amos apart or more, then you are allowed to plant grain or vegetables between them without being over on the sort of Kalayakedim, or you need them, like we talked about yesterday, is a spacing of six tefachim around each individual grapevine, as opposed to if it was all considered a grapevine, you'd need spacings of 4 amos. So then, on the other hand, with Sufin, then what about when it comes to grapevines that are planted close together? So then you have another Mishnah, the Tanan. You have another Mishnah in Kilayim that bears on this. The Mishnah says, Kerem on a tual pochus me'aba amos. When you have a vineyard that's planted with spacings of less than 4 amos between one row and the next, Reb Shimon Omer, so Eina Kerem Divir Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon says, you don't count that as a vineyard. Now, we talked about yesterday that the minimum in halacha for something to be considered a vineyard is you have to have 5 grapevines, and they have to be in a certain pattern. According to Rashi, the pattern is that you have them, you know, 4 of them in the shape of a square, and one of them sticking out in the middle in one direction. So you have, for example, so that it ends up looking sort of like the outline of a house with a peaked roof. According to the Rambam, rather, it would be that you have a row of 3 and next to it a row of 2. Whatever the case, the point is that now when you have them planted, when you have the 2 rows planted too close together, Reb Shimon says that doesn't count as a vineyard because you're not going to keep them planted that close together. They're going to crowd each other out. So, Divrei Reb Shimon, Vacham and Kerem, Vacham say it can still count as a vineyard. Now, sort of Shimon's point is, it's not just if you have 2 rows, even if you have a whole bunch of rows like that. So on the face of it, you could say, well, okay, so we have row number 1. Let's say we're going to say row number 2 is too close, because within 4 amos, so we're going to say that doesn't count. But after all, there's row 3, which is 4 amos apart from row 1. Shouldn't that count? Reb Shimon says, no, the fact is there's row 2 in between, and therefore the whole thing doesn't count as a vineyard. The Chum say does count as a vineyard. We're doing the same thing. What we do is we picture the ones that are in the middle, in the second row, as though they're not there. We're going to say, because, yeah, it's planted too close together. Sooner or later, you're going to uproot the vines that are in the middle in that second row, and you'll leave the first and third rows, and those are at the proper spacing. But Reb Shimon doesn't hold of that. So we see, therefore, that Reb Shimon holds that when they're less than 4 amos apart, then they don't count as a vineyard, then they count more like a forest. So the point being, in other words, that we see that according to Reb Shimon, you have to have minimum and maximum spacings. If you have the vines are less than 4 amos apart or more than 8 amos apart, then they don't count as a vineyard. Therefore, we can say, according to Reb Yosef, fine, applying that to trees that you buy in somebody else's field, if the trees are less than 4 or more than 8 amos apart, then we don't count them as trees, then we count them as a forest that it doesn't have, and it doesn't have the same as a forest when they're too close together, or as individual trees when they're too far apart, and then therefore there's no length. The question now becomes, Elul Reb Nachman, Alibid Rabban. But according to Reb Nachman, he holds the halacha as like the Chachamim in this regard, meaning not like Reb Shimon, but rather like the Chachamim, so who disagree and say, as far as the grapevines, when they're planted too close together, that we picture the ones in the middle as though they're missing. Well, Mufuzorin Shamin and Lay, well, then we see that there's a case where they're far apart, and we get Reb Nachman 16 amos, because we have the case from Salmon that we learned yesterday where the rows of vines were planted 16 amos apart, and only then did the Chachamim allow him to plant between them. So fine, there's Reb Nachman 16 amos. With Sufin Mishamin and Lay, but where do we have anything that shows that the minimum spacing is 8? So Reb Nachman is saying the maximum spacing is 16, fine. He's getting that from the Mishnah and Kilayim, but where is he getting the minimum spacing of 8? On the face of it, Reb Yosef has more of a proof for his, for his opinion, because both 4 and 8 we can find in respective Mishnayos and Kilayim, and of course we can draw an analogy from that to our case. So the one answer is Svarahu. Rav Nachman is going to say that it's a matter of Svarah. Midl Rav Shimon Palga, given that according to Rav Shimon, the minimum space is half of the maximum space, L'Rabbanan Nami Palga, then we can understand that according to the Chachamim, which are represented by Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in Salmon, in the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, since the maximum is 16, then the logic would be that the minimum would be half of that, would be 8. So it's true, there's no actual Mishnah that says so, but Rav Nachman is using that svar. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Hilchasa, the bottom line halacha is sort of a hybrid between Rav Yehuda, between Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman. Hilchasa, me Abrahamis, bad sheshesre. The actual figures would be where they're anywhere between 4 and 16. 4 we get from the story in Dura Deravasa, at the top of the Amud, where Rav Yehuda had said that as long as there's 4 amas space between the trees, then we had told him that you have to allot him that amount of space of land, as long as the trees are that far apart. 16 we get from the story in Salmon. So okay, we don't say, like Rav Nachman's Svara, that the minimum distance is going to be half of the maximum one. It can be, they can be further apart. It can be between 4 and 16. But yeah, so if they're closer than 4 amas together, then we say he's not going to keep them growing like that for too long, because they're going to crowd each other out. So sooner or later, he's going to uproot one of those trees and replant, and if he's able to, he'll replant it further away, and if not, then he'll just leave the two. Therefore, he doesn't get karka around them. And if they're more than 16 amas apart, then we say that's too far apart for him to own, for him to be given all the land between them. So, and all of this, of course, is only when there's 3 trees. If there's 2 trees or fewer, then we said in the mission, only the mayor holds that he gets karka, and the halacha is not like that. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Kavasei the Rava. In fact, we learn a Braisa, like the way Rava says it, that the distances are between 4 and 16. Because Braisa says, Kama Yumaka Rava, what's the closest that the trees can be together? Arba Amos, 4 Amos, for Kama Yumaka Rachok and Shesh Esri. And what's the maximum that they, what's the furthest they can be apart? It's 16 Amos. The Rashbam says that actually this the context of this braisa, it's talking about this case where a person buys trees in somebody else's land, but the Rashbam says it would also really apply when a person is makdish tree. So we learned earlier at the end of the previous parak that there was a case where a person had trees that are planted 10 to a, there were 10 trees planted in a base saw, and he was makdish 3 or more of those trees. So we said over there that then he's makdish all, that then he's makdish the land around them. So the Rashbam says that braisa would disagree with this one, because that one said that even when they're planted when they're planted like that, you have 10 to a base saw, which is a base saw is 50 by 50 amas. So an area of 2,500 square amas, and he has 10 trees planted in there, which means that each one only has 250 square feet at 250 square amas. And we're saying that in that case, he's makdish the land between them. But now, when this braisa is saying that the distances are between 4 and 16 amas, then that would disagree with that, says the Rashbam. We would say that, there's no difference between selling and being makdish. Tosfos points out actually that there is a little bit of difference between this and between this case of selling trees and the case of Kilayim. Namely, when it comes to Kilayim, the amos that we use when it comes to Kilayim actually are slightly different than the ones we use for various other purposes. In general, with any time you measure an amma, you have what's called soichakos umetzumtzomus. How do you measure an amma? The definition of an amma is 6 tefachim, and the definition of a tefach is 4 thumb width or some breadth one next to the other. Now you can measure them tightly pressed together, or you could measure them a little more loosely pressed together. Tightly pressed together is called aksevos, and more loosely is called seichos. When it comes to kelayim, we have to be machmir in each case. Whether we're talking minimums or maximums, we have to be machmir appropriately. So when we talk about the 16 amos over here, Tosfos points out, we're actually talking about 16 amos seichos, as opposed to by sales, we're talking 16 amos mitzumtzumos, so there's a slight difference over there. The point is, the Braise is saying that the minimum, their far part is 4 amos and the maximum is 16. And the Braise continues, Hareza Konakarka. Then when that happens, when you have those spacings between 4 and 16, he has acquired the land around the trees, Veselonis Shebenehen, as well as he's acquired any other trees that are between. Which we learned previously that would include, for example, let's say you have the 3 trees are fruit trees, and now you have, so we said if you have small immature trees, or we said maybe if you have non-fruit bearing trees between them, then they're bottle to the other ones. Lefichach, and therefore, the Braisa continues, Yavasha Ilan and Nitzatz, therefore, if any one of these trees dries up or gets chopped down, Yeshlo Karta, he still owns the land where that tree grew, because now that he bought 3 trees, he has land to go with them, so therefore he would be able to replant another tree. Pachas Nikana Yosarkan, but if the trees are any closer together than 4, or any further apart than 16, Osha Lokhan Bazakazer, or if he bought them one after the other, then he hasn't acquired the land between them or any trees that are growing between them. Because again, when they're closer to each other than 4 amos, then they're too crowded together and you're not going to keep them like that for very long. And when they're more than 16 apart, then they're too far to be considered to have any connection with one the other. So therefore he doesn't own the karka or the small trees between them. Therefore, if one of these trees dries up or gets chopped down, then he doesn't own any karka because he can't plant another one instead. So the point is, we see from this braisa that the minimum and maximum distances are in fact 4 and 16 respectively, which is what Rava had said. So, again, the Rashbam says, previously on Daf Ayin Beis, we had a discussion over there about a person is makdish trees in his field, and we drew a distinction over there whether he's makdish all 3 of them at a time, or whether he's makdish some and then later on other ones, and there the Braise have given different figures that it's just a matter of as long as they're planted at the distances where you would have 10 of them in a Beis Sof. Whereas here the Braise is instead mentioning different figures, so that Rashbam says that apparently the two Braises are disagreeing. Next, now that we established that, we have 3 different opinions how far apart the trees are. In the end, we said Rabba's definition is the most expansive one. The minimum is 4, the maximum is 16 amas apart, and if it's anything between them, then he gets karka. Otherwise, So now Rabbi Yirmiyah has a question in this connection when we're measuring the 4 or the 16 amps. When we're measuring the distance between one tree and the next, well, for that matter, when we're measuring as far as Hilchos Kelayim, for example, how far apart the grapevines are. Mimakim kotzer hu moided, or mimakim rochel. Are you measuring from the narrower part or from the wider part? Now, so the Rashbam says what that means is, you think of a tree begins wider at the bottom, and then it narrows and then the trunk narrows as it goes further up. So from what part of the trunk are we measuring the 4 or the 16 amps? So the Gviya Mibay Kossel says to Rav Ashi, come, we can bring a proof from a Braisa, or from a Mishnah, rather. An interesting point, by the way, that we can see from this, your Gviya Mibay Kossel is one of the later, and Rav Ashi, of course, are among the later generations of Amiroyim. many times we have where the Gemara is asking something and it leaves it as teiku. But here we have, for example, consider Rav Yirmiya had brought up this question generations earlier. All this time we had no answer to that. Had the Gemara been completed sometime before Ravashi's times, then this would have been one of the ones that's left us tape. Now instead we have an answer to it that Rabbi Yirmiya Beit Kossel is going to bring. So a lot of times when we see in the Gemara that something is asked and we end up saying teiku, and we would say, well, why they even, we almost might wonder to ourselves why they even bother asking the question in the first place. And the answer would be because all this time they thought maybe we might be able to find a mission or a braisa or whatever from where we would be able to deduce the answer, and only it came to Ravina and Ravashi's times and they weren't, and they had to leave it as taken. Anyway, so Rabbi Yirmiya Beit Kossel says to Ravashi, Toshma, we can bring a proof to Tanan from another case in the Mishnayos Kelayim. Haruchuva shebeget, a bent grapevine. Now the word rechuva has a couple of different meanings. It can come from the word, it can be related to the word markiv, like when you're grafting a branch onto another grape. So that's how the Rashbam understands it. It means, in other words, that you have an older grapevine, which is already mature. You take a branch, but it's not producing such good fruit anymore. So you take a branch from a younger one and graft it onto the older one. That way it has a strong root stock to continue growing on, but it produces better fruit. When you're measuring your four amos, to get your minimum distance between the grapevines, so it'll be considered a vineyard and have the halachas of a vineyard as far as Kalaya Kerem, then in emoted elam ikrasheni, you count only from the second, only from the second root, which means, in other words, so the Rashbam says, now let's consider. Grapevines have, we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago, that with grapevines, you can consider along the length of the grapevine, you have cap. You have, like we said with bamboo, similarly to, you have with grapevines, you have like knots, like rings, in other words, in various places around it that mark the point of transition between one part of the branch and the next. So now what you do is you don't count when you're measuring, you don't count from the one closest to the root stock because it's thicker over there. You don't count from the one from the third or one further away, it's narrower over there. You count from the second one. So you see, in other words, that you count from the middle size one. So you see the same thing with trees. You're not counting from the base of the tree, right where the trunk touches the ground, where it's widest. You're not counting from all the way up where it's narrower. You do something from the middle. That's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos points out that, fine, we have the word over here, horuchuva, that is the way it's pointed in the Gemara, and we can understand horuchuva as being related to the word hakava, which means that you grafted one branch onto another one. The problem is, if you look in the Mishnayos and Kelayim, you have the word ha'arkuva, and the word arkuva means a joint. Like, for example, you have an aloha, for example, we're going to talk about it on Omid Beis, actually, arkuva, named Keres and Marosh. You have a joint of a leg that's regularly sewed together with the head. And then the word akuba can mean a knee. In general, it means a joint. So Tosfos says that, and then a couple of other objections Tosfos has against the Rashbam. So rather, Tosfos says the rechuva of on Mishnah that we're quoting over here is the same as havroch. And it's called rechuva in the sense that when a person kneels on his knees. Now you can have, havrocha is where you take a branch from a tree or from a grapevine and you bury one end of it into the ground so that over time it'll develop roots of its own and then break off the parent tree. You'll cut it off the parent tree and you'll have a clone of the original plant. So therefore, Tosfos says that's what the Mishnah means over here. So when it comes to measuring, as far as Kelayim, you don't measure from the original root, which is still attached. You measure from the roots now, from where it comes out of the ground after. So you'll have the grapevine starts over here. Then you bend it, you have it go a foot or two out. Then you bury part of it in the ground, and then the rest of it comes out from there. That's the point at which you measure. That's the point you measure from as far as determining whether this is considered a vineyard, whether the vines are at the proper spacing, and so on and so forth.
But as soon as you bend over, it doesn't really have nuts yet.
No, but that all of them have knots for Pashtus. But the point is, in other words, that the point is, Tosfos says, we see, in other words, that since he uses the expression "ain't murdered element ikar asheni," then on the contrary, Tosfos says, not like the Rashbam, that it means that you measure from the midpoint where it's not too wide and not too narrow. No, the fact that it uses the expression the ikar asheni means you measure from the thickest part, from where it's closest, from where the root is closest to the ground. So all the Mishnah is saying over there is instead of measuring from the base where the roots are in the ground, you're measuring from the base of the part where you're buried in the ground, right. And that's coming out from there, from the new part, but nevertheless you measure from its thicker part.
Okay, the new part in the beginning is very narrow, it's just new, so it's not
fine, bad. But the point still is, in other words, that's considered the widest part is still the part closest to the ground, and you measure from there. Then there's yet a third explanation of this Rechuba Shebegeben. The Rambam understands that what it means is that you can have a grapevine that bends, the same way as sometimes you'll have a tree that has a bend in the middle and then it'll continue growing upright from there, the same way you can have with a grapevine. It started growing, then it twists a little bit and goes sideways for a few inches or something, and then it continues growing straight up from there. So the Mishnah is saying that you count as far as determining where the grapevine is, you count from after that bend. Therefore, then the proof is again that you're counting from. The point is that you're counting from as close as possible to the base, similar to Tosfos, but taking it in a different way. Not, in other words, according to that, the chuva is not as Tosfos is saying, that's Meloshon HaMavrich, that you're bending it down into the ground, but rather just that above, the whole thing is above ground, but the vine bent a little bit for a little bit and then continues upright from there. According to Tosfos and the Rambam, the point is you're measuring from the widest part, and that's where you measure as far as your 4 and 16 amps. According to the Rashbam, what you're doing is you're measuring from the average, from the average width, from the place where it's of average width, not the widest width and not the narrowest. Okay. Boy Rav Yumia, now Rav Yumia has another question. Mochel Shlosha Bade Ilan Mavu. What would happen if Reuven sells to Shimon, instead of selling him 3 separate trees, as we've been talking about all this time, he sold him 1 tree that has branches that grow very far apart. So now we talked about yesterday, you could have the case where he sold him a tree. We talked about a case yesterday where he sold him a tree. A branch grew out from the side, and then over time it grows thick enough to look like a trunk of its own. And then what happens, as we said, that sediment, that topsoil gets deposited over there in a storm or something, and the base of the tree is covered, and they look like separate trees. So we said over there that because of that consideration, therefore we said when he sells him 1 or 2 trees, any of those branches that grow out of the side, any of those twigs that grow out of the side, he's going to, in fact, have to cut off as soon as possible so that they don't develop into big branches like that, and then you're going to think that he sold him 3 trees. So now, in that connection, the Yumir is asking, what about to begin with? You have 3 branches that are all connected to one trunk and one root, but they're at least four amas apart once you go a couple of feet up. Now what happens is the ground level has gotten higher. So now it looks like 3 trees. So do we in fact go according to the goof of the tree, because they all grow from one trunk, therefore he's not entitled to any karka between the 3 branches, or maybe not, because right now above ground it looks like each one is a separate tree. Yes, they're all connected by a root underground, so maybe they should be considered one tree, or maybe not.
Do we say we look at how it looks now, or do we say?
Well, that's basically the question. The Rashbam brings that some people wanted to explain that the question is, what if we're talking about 3 trees and he sold them 1 branch on each tree? Would he get character for that? The Rashbam says, of course not. He kept for himself most of the tree. Then why would we think that he should, So the question then is that Rashbam is saying that it's kind of following up from the question that we discussed in the Gemara yesterday, where you have these 3 branches are in fact connected underground, but right now the ground level is higher than it was when the tree first started growing, and now it looks like separate trees. As if they're at space, if the spacing between these branches is at least 4 amas, then is he going to be entitled to land or not? So again, again, we can prove from a Mishnah, again, in connection with Kelayim, the Tanan HaMavrach Gimel B'fanim, if a person
his mabrith, again, he layers, he bends down into the soil, the ends of three grapevines, the Ikrayan Nirin, and you can still see the original roots of them. In other words, that now the grapevines are beginning to develop the new part. So in other words, before you had three grapevines, now by doing this hamabrich, now you've turned them into six. Because now you have the original three, and then you have the new three that are growing and starting to develop roots of their own. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says, as long as they're at distances of between 4 and 8 amos, then they combine together, and the whole thing is considered a vineyard. That would be like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, that we said earlier on the Amud, that the minimum is 4, and the maximum is 6. Not like Rabbi Yehuda with his story in Salmon, who said the maximum is 16. Anyway, so Vim Lab and Mitzdafin, and if not, Rabbi Elazar the Rabbi Tzadik says, they don't combine together. So we see that even though basically it's three grapevines, but now that, in other words, in effect, what you have is the new one and the old one, they're still connected together. They're still connected together underground. Right. The new one is beginning to develop roots of its own, but it's still connected underground to the old one. And nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar the Rabbi Tzadik considers them separate grapevines. Well then, says Rabbi Gria, by the same token over here, yes, the branches above ground, yes, the branches below ground are connected because they're all part of the same trunk. But since above ground they look separate, then therefore they would be considered separate, and he would be entitled to karka between them, around them, and so forth, as long as they're at the proper spacings. Which again is why we said, based on that, is why we said in the Gemara yesterday that therefore when twigs start growing out of the side, then he needs to cut them off precisely so we don't end up with the situation where eventually it's going to look like he has three trees. But here, where he bought three trees in the first place, you don't have that issue. And yet, here it wasn't even three trees, three branches all of one tree, where the body of the tree is hidden underground, then that also counts as separate trees. So again, like I was saying, you know, here you have in some places in the Gemara, you'll have word of Yumiya will ask a dozen questions one after the other. You have the beginning of Amafkin, for example, and the Gemara will end up saying Teiku about all of them. All that means is, in other words, by the time the Gemara was completed, they couldn't bring any proof one way or the other. Here we had it not been for Yumiya Beit Kossel, we would have had these two questions of Yumiya would have been left in Teiku, and now instead we do actually have an answer to them. So it shows that there was good reason to ask them and for them to be recorded in the Gemara in case one of the Chachamim would come up with an answer from a Mishnah or a Braisa or whatever. Okay. Another question though, Rabbi Popper, Mochel Shnayim B'Sich Sedeo V'Echad Al Ametzer. What about if the three trees, two of them were in the middle of the field and one of them is on the border? We've talked about before that the border that the border is a field. Back then, typically there would be a berm, a pile of earth going along the length of the border. It's still considered part of the field, but for many purposes, we think of it almost as a separate little mini field of its own. We have cases, Udu and the Masechta, for example, where a person sells the field and does or doesn't sell that matzah with it. We're going to have examples of that kind of thing later in the Masechta as well. So here, if one of the trees is growing on that matzah, so do they count together? Do they still all count together, assuming that they're the proper distances apart? Do we say that since it's growing on the Metzer, then maybe it doesn't, maybe that's considered separate enough from the other ones that it doesn't combine with them? Or maybe it does. And the other way around, Shnayim B'Sech Shalom, Echad B'Sech Shalom, and or what about Shnayim B'Sech Shalom, Echad B'Sech Shalom, Echad B'Sech Shalom? What about if two trees are on his property and then he sells another tree within somebody else's property? So let's say, for example, so you have Reuven and Shimon that own adjacent properties. Levi, let's say, owns two trees within Reuven's land and one within Shimon's land, and he sells all three of those trees to Yehuda. Is Yehuda going to be entitled to land because he bought three trees, or maybe not, since two of them are on Reuven's property and one on Shimon's? Actually, the Rashbam says it a little different. Sorry, the Rashbam says, we're talking about that Reuven himself owns a field, and he has two trees that are near the border. Then, in Shimon's field, next door, he owns one tree. Now he goes and sells the two trees that are in his field, as well as the one that he owns in Shimon's field. So now the question is Levi going to be entitled to land, to land within them, because after all, there are three trees over here. There's two and one over here. You have three, or maybe not. Maybe it has to be that all three of them are in the plot of land that belongs to the same person.
So teku on those cases, we say teku, and we can't, we haven't been able to bring a proof and to, about them, and therefore hamotz mechavel v'raya. So he wouldn't be entitled to karka because he can't prove that because he can't prove that he's entitled there.
The reason is because you should be able to get the trees to water and take care of them. Then there's three trees together here, but
yeah. No, the point is not so much that, because we said if you buy one or two trees, you also have to get to them and water them or whatever. But there, what you have is you don't own the karka, but you have an easement on the karka. We said you're able to go there in order to water them and pick the fruit or whatever, but you don't own the actual karka insofar as that if the tree dies or whatever, that you should be able to plant a new one. So in this case, it would be the same kind of thing. Okay. Boy Rav Ashi, similarly, Rav Ashi has another question. Bur mahu shatafsik. What about, for example, but bur. Suppose you have, now the Rashbam says that the question over here is really kind of an imtim tzaloymar based on what we said before. Now, the Gemara doesn't actually introduce it with imtim tzaloymar. If it did, then actually we would have an answer to the teku, is because we have a general rule that goes back to the Goyim that says when the Gemara says imtim tzaloymar on one side of a question, then it means the halacha is like that. Here, there's an implicit imtim tzaloymar. If you're going to say, for example, that in the cases that Rav Papa talked about, where the third tree is on the meitzer, or where it's in somebody else's field, you're going to say that that's not considered a hefsek. But what about if you have a water pit between the three trees? Mahu shatafsek, is that considered a separation between them? Now one way of looking at it is that so you could say maybe it's considered a separation because after all you can't plant over there. On the other hand, it's not really visible from outside the property that there's water between them. So, amasamayim maushatafsik. What about if instead of a water pit, if instead it was a water channel, where there it's more visible, a pit. The point is, in other words, that a pit, it's not just that it's not visible from the street or something, it's not even visible until you come close to it, because the water level in the pit is usually not all the way up to the top. Whereas an amasamayim is usually dug in such a way that the water usually fills up to the top of the channel. So maybe that should be considered a hafsik. Rishus Rabin Mahu. What about if you had a Rishus Rabin between some of the trees? Or Derech Rabin, Agoy Sabach says maybe the Girsa should be not a Rishus Rabin, which would be 16 amos wide, but rather a Derech Rabin, which we narrow. Tosfa says that we're not talking about a Rishus Rabin necessarily. It's usually we say, you know, Rishus Rabin is 16 amos wide. Here it may not be talking about that, because again, 16 amos, we said, was the maximum distance anyhow. So if there was a real Rosh Hashanah of 16 amos wide between them, there'd be nothing to talk about. We already said 16 amos, they're not considered connected any. Therefore, Tosfos says necessarily we'd have to be talking about a Rosh Hashanah which is less than 16 amos. Now, there is such a thing sometimes, in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, you have a case where Rosh Hashanah is basically 16 amos wide, and then you have a point in the middle where it narrows. And still, that narrower area in the middle is considered part of Rosh Hashanah. But again, Agoy Sabach disposes of the whole question in the first place by saying the Girsa over here should be Derech Harabim, and the Derech Harabim is much narrower than 16 amps. Anyway, the question would be, though, is it considered a separation between the trees, or maybe not? What about Richba de Dikli Mahu? And what about if you have a bunch of palm trees that together make like a very thick hedge? Sometimes you have palm trees grow so thickly together that it's the crowns of them especially intermingle that it's hard to walk between them. So that would be considered maybe a real hefsek. In fact, the Rashbam points out it would be the biggest hefsek more than any of the other things. So again, teku, again, we don't know what the answer is for all of those things. So again, the point is, in all these cases of teku, we say karka b'cheskas ba'ala kayemus, and therefore he's not going to be entitled to that land because he'd have to bring a proof that the halacha is that he is entitled to. The Yad Ramah points out a number of these things that we're talking about over here are not considered a hefsek as far as kilayim, because, for example, you have, let's say, as far as kilayakerim, if I have one row of grapevines growing in my property, and within 4 amas of it, or within 8 amas of it, or whatever, or not within 4 amas, between four and eight amas away, in the next door property, there's another row, they would count together as far as a vineyard. So as far as the halachas of kelayim, they do count together, even across properties, but the Gemara is asking over here whether the same thing is true as far as nekach hamemker, and the answer is teku. Okay. Next, Bamine Hilo Merev. Hilo asked Rebbe. Now, the interesting question is, who is this Hilo? The famous Hilo that we know of was generations before Rebbe. So, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to say that this is actually the Hilo. He says this is actually the Hilo who's the last, almost the last known descendant, Ben Achaben, of Rebbe, the one who established calendar as we have it. However, then the Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chazar points out that chronologically that doesn't really work out. Rebbe himself, after all, is well over 100 years before that Rabbi Hillel. So he says that maybe the correct gilsa over here would be that Hillel asked not Rebbe, but Rav. So this Hillel, the Rabbi Hillel Hanasi, who made the calendar, did in fact live in the time of Rav. So it's plausible that he might have been able to ask him, although he's in Eretz Yisrael and Rav is in Bava, but at least it's less of an issue. But, of course, not necessarily is this Hillel one of the Nasiim anyway. The name Hillel in general tended to be used only in the family of the Nasiim, but nevertheless, obviously not all the bearers of that name were Nasiim themselves. So could this be somebody from that extended family? Anyway, he asked that. Ola Erez Benei Hanmah. What would happen? So you bought the 3 trees and you have land between them. Now, later on, a cedar tree grew between the other trees. So would that change anything as far as the land that he owns between them? So the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? Ola Bershus Adidei, but if it grew there after the fact, it's in his Rishus. He already owned that triangle of land between the trees, and now another tree grows there. Of course, it's his land. Anything that grows there is his. So he's saying he bought the 3 trees, and then later on, another tree started growing between them. Of course he owns it. So what's Hillel even asking? Ela hoya erez b'nei hen ma'ru. Rather, Hillel is asking, what happens? He buys the 3 trees, and when he buys them, there's 3 fruit trees, for example. You also have 1 erez, you also have a cedar tree between them. Is that enough to be considered a break between them? That now they're not considered a group of 3 trees, and he shouldn't acquire karka. And the point is, in other words, that the Ritva makes a point that it's a double choshuv in and of itself. So the double choshuv was actually about something else. But nevertheless, we could say that the whole idea of the 3 trees is talking about where there's 3 fruit trees. So now you have 1 erez between them, which doesn't produce fruit. So maybe therefore it's enough to make a hefsek between them, or maybe not. Amalei, so Rebbe answers him, kona v'kona. As a matter of fact, he most certainly did acquire, yes, he not only acquired the land around and between the trees, but even that tree itself, because we said before that he does acquire ha'ilonis shebenei. Now that Ashbam had said it, Amal Aleph, that means the small trees between them, but nevertheless, it's still, even a large tree like this, it's still considered bottle to them. The point is, Tosfos had made a point earlier, at the end of the previous paragraph, the reason is, given the 3 trees that he's buying, that he has counted with, are fruit trees, and this one is a non-fruit bearing tree, he's much more likely to cut this down or get it out of the way. And I was saying, again, it's between the other trees, it's crowding them, but if it's a problem of crowding, which one is he likely to get rid of? That. So therefore, the other 3 trees will still stay intact, and therefore will still be entitled to karka. So in fact, the Rashbam, who said on Omer Aleph that we're talking about a small tree, then Achronim point out that he would have to say over here also that it means a small tree. So we wouldn't be talking about a fully mature erez, but rather a small one. Anyway, the point is that Rebbe is saying that, yes, the fact that there is a non-fruit-bearing tree in the middle over there, a small one according to the Rashbam, even a large one according to Tosfos, doesn't prevent the other 3 from combining together as 1 year. Okay. Now the question becomes, all this time we've been talking about the matter of 3 trees, Ketzev Hein Omdim. What shape are the trees laid out in that we're saying 3 trees? So Rav Amar Keshura. Rav says it means when they're in a row, one next to the other, with spacings of, as we said, between 4 and 16 amas.
Shmuel Amakachatsuva. Shmuel says when they're arranged in a triangle. So you have diagrams in Rashi, actually. Rav would draw it like three stars or three dots, one next to the other with the proper spacings. Shmuel would say, kachatsuva, which literally chatsuva is a tripod that you use to put nowadays you hear the word tripod, usually think of a camera, but back then a tripod would be more something that you'd put a pot on when you're putting a pot on the stove and you need something to hold it above the coals. Anyway, the point is, it was made with three legs at equal distances, and therefore the word katsova comes to be the Gemara's word for a triangle. So the Gemara points out, Manda Omakashura, Rav, who says that the three trees are in a row, Kolshiken Kachatsova. He would say all the more so if they're arranged in a triangle, for sure he has character between them. Because when you have the Rav is saying, even when they're in a straight line, and you're still able, conceivably, when you're plowing the rest of the field, you'd be able to get fairly close to the trees, and nevertheless, you still own the land between the trees, how much more so when they're in a triangle, where it's a little more difficult to get in there with your oxen and plow and whatever. Umando Amakahatsuva, where Shmuel says, Dafka, they have to be in the shape of a triangle, Avakashuraloi. He would say that no, if they were in a straight line, like Rav says, then no, he's not entitled for the land between them, my time, from the Mizra Benayu, because then it's not so difficult to plant between them. So then we can assume that the seller never intended to sell all of that land between and around them and whatever, because he figures it's easy enough to go, I can't go from north to south, let's say, to get in between them easily, but I can easily go from east to west and then get between them. So therefore I'm not giving up that land between them, and therefore I'm reserving it for myself. Okay. The Gemara says, Maske for Rav Hamnuna. Now, Rav Hamnuna has a question on that. Ulamanda Omaka Hatsuva. Now, you're telling me, according to Shmuel, that it works only if they're in the shape of a triangle. My time of the Mizra Benayu, I'm saying, because it's hard to plant between them, because no matter what, you're going to have to go in on an angle. Elamei after. Well, by that logic, says Rav Hamnuna, Zabin Leitzlas Higiru Maisa. What about if instead of selling him three regular trees, what if he sold him three thorn bushes, which are in the shape, which are also arranged in the shape of a triangle. Where you also can't plant the area between them because it's too hard to get in because of the thorns and all. Would that also mean automatically he's entitled to karka? No, because the thorn bushes are not important enough trees. Only when it comes to fruit trees do we have this din of the three trees. But if it's a matter of, Rav Hamnuna is saying, practically speaking, the Moshel can't easily get in there, and therefore he's willing to give up that land to the Lekeach, then that should apply, even if there's thorn bushes, and we don't see that. Amalei, so Shmuel answers, Hanach Lechashivi. The difference is thorn bushes are not important at all. Hanach Chashivi, as opposed to fruit trees, are Choshu. So yes, when it comes to thorn bushes, sure, it might be hard for the Moshel to get in there in order to actually work the land between them. But on the other hand, since to begin with, what he's selling is not very important, then he's saying, you know what, I'll put in the extra effort and go in there. I'm not willing to be Moshel on that land in between. So in other words, Shmuel is saying, basically, you need both factors. It has to be the trees are important enough to have a chshivus of their own, namely their fruit trees, and that the area between them is hard to get to because the trees are arranged as the three points of a triangle, and then we say he sells in character. But you have only that they're in a straight line, like the way Rav says, where the trees are choshev, but it's easy to get between them, or where it's like you're saying thorn bushes, where it's hard to get to them, but the trees themselves, the bushes themselves are not choshev, then either way, he's not giving up character, and therefore the buyer is not entitled to the character between and around and so forth the trees.
Eres.
So we said before that Erez is not considered so kosher relative to fruit trees. Because again, if he buys three fruit trees, and then there's a large Erez between them, or it grows to be large over the years or whatever, and it crowds them, which one is he going to cut down? The Erez. So it doesn't block the other ones from being considered a unit of fruit. Okay.